503-535-9100 or 1-877-535-9100. It's the Rick Emerson Show. All this stuff. Sin City tickets we still have to give away. And I've been remiss on those. We didn't do any last hour. We'll do some this hour. We'll do some next hour. Jolie's going to be here in a short while with today's How Chicks Think. Jen Lane's going to be here. We'll do Jen Lane's Top 5. We'll talk a little bit more about Listener Party 8, which is coming up Friday, April 15th, at the Viper Room on Hawthorne, which is 7th and Hawthorne, which is going to be fantastic. It's going to be unbelievably great. A couple things to note. A, of course, so the Listener Party itself happens Friday, the 15th. Here's why you care about that, because it's the first one. And I don't know how many people this applies to, but I would guess, a certain percentage of people out there. Because we've been doing parties for several years now, where we've done 7 of them already. And there's a whole bunch of people who probably just never been able to come to one before. Because it's happy, you know, it was on a Thursday. And it's like there's all kinds of people who just can't come to something on a Thursday. I mean, it's like...
You can't fully enjoy yourself as much as you'd like to.
Seriously, Reed, you cannot become intoxicated to the extent that you might otherwise. You're not all Sarah, you know. Sarah has an intestinal fortitude of 15 men, which is why she's able to do that and get up at 4 a.m. But not everyone is quite so hearty and hale. So this is the very first listener party we've done on a Friday. We're having the Dead Celebrity Costume Contest. Now, that's going to be happening. This is an important thing to note. Two things. A, you're not required to come in. People are asking if it's a costume party as such. You don't have to come in a costume. It's not required. You don't have to do it. But because of the Viper Room theme, we are having a Dead Celebrity Costume Contest. And within a couple days, we'll be announcing what the prize is for that. And that's going to be happening in the first hour, probably, the party. So you don't want to slack and come late. You want to be there early, if anything else, because if past experience is any indication, because this is in Portland, because it's kind of in the middle of Portland, it's on Hawthorne, and because it's the first one on a Friday, it's going to be crowded. I would bet you at this point that you want to be coming there early. So we'll do the costume contest for the Dead Celebrity in the first hour. Got a bunch of other stuff. And then at 10 p.m., this is the exciting thing. We just confirmed this yesterday, because we've been talking about it, but we just confirmed this yesterday. We will climax the whole party at 10 p.m. with a special one-hour live broadcast of the Rick Emerson Show, which is going to be the first one of those we've ever done here in Portland. We have never before done a Portland live broadcast of this program. So that's going to be at 10 p.m. So the party itself is from 8 to 10, and then we'll be doing a live broadcast at 10, which you'll be able to hear right here on Max 910, and you'll be able to see us through the live broadcast at the Viper Room. So you want to be there for that. It's going to be fantastic. So it is 2 weeks from this Friday, 2 weeks from tomorrow, Friday, April 15th, 8 p.m. At the Viper Room. So file it away. Do whatever it is you have to do. You want to make sure that you've got everything set aside for that. It's going to be a fantastic time. So don't, there's no excuses. We're telling you about it like way in advance, too. All right, we'll do a Britney watch here in just a second. And then we will briefly go through some of these other stories. And I don't want to do it as an actual top five. But I do want to touch on this horrible VH1 countdown they did the other night about they did this worst, because I got all this email, people asking me if I saw the worst metal songs thing that VH1 did. Which is, like, here's the problem with those VH1 shows, and I've deduced what it is. And I don't know if you all have this same problem, where every time VH1, and it's always VH1, because I don't think any of the other networks, I mean, like CMT and those guys do it, but it's not like an MTV thing. It is, I think, a very generationally specific thing, this listing of music stuff, because it's a thing that VH1 and Blender Magazine seem to sort of have a monopoly on. They have a lock on it. But if you have this problem where you can't quit watching the countdown shows, or where they're listing, you know, the 40 least metal moments, and then, you know, the 90 loudest this, or the 40 blankiest blanks, and you can't quit watching them, and if you stumble in halfway through, you got to watch it all the way to the end. And they could be counting down things you couldn't possibly care less about. And you'll sit there like some sort of a drugged-out gibbon on the couch watching all of them, yet simultaneously knowing that the list is wrong. And I'm not just talking about, like, a little wrong. I'm talking about, like, wrong in every conceivable sense and way. And more to the point, put together by people who have no idea what they're talking about. And I've boiled it down to its bare essence. The problem with the VH1 shows is this. And it hit me while I was watching the 40 worst metal songs of all time. Is that they will count down the songs, and then they're being commented on by people who have no relation to the music industry. That's the problem that I finally put my finger on. Because it's always just like, you know, it's always just like Hal Sparks from Queer as Folk. You know what I mean? And then like some guy from the Drew Carey Show and then Carrot Top. That's it. To the extent that they really ought to just change the name of the show to Comedians Talk About Rock Songs. That's what it is. At no point is there any actual discussion of the songs by people who are musicians or people who are in bands. That's the whole crucial flaw.
So,
the lists themselves are terrible as well, but that's a minor point. So what we'll do is we'll just quickly blow through that list here in just a minute. Let's do the Britney Watch, however. This is your Britney Watch for Thursday.
Been about 17. The beat was going strong. Play my favorite song.
All right, this comes to us from Sky.net, which is a British, sort of, it is like the British internet version of a tablet. Britney has a tantrum. It seems that poor Britney Spears has had a bit of a to-do of late with her husband, Kevin Federline. Kevin, boy, did that guy win, like, the lotto of all time or what? You know what I mean? Because we've heard from people who've met Britney Spears up close that it's, you know, that she looks good on television, but when you get within striking distance, it's just, it's like a whole, it's a whole, it's just 30 miles of bad road. But see, nobody else knows that. Is she still perceived to be like the hottest thing on two legs? And so, it's like that guy who was in Kiss, that Mark St. John or whatever his name was. He was in Kiss for like a week and a half back in 1987. He got to join Kiss to replace Vinnie Vincent or somebody. And then he got like some inoperable bone disease. I shouldn't laugh. Then, like the week after he joined Kiss, like his arm bloated up like some sort of a ballpark Frank, and he turned out he was filled with tapeworms or something. And so he had to quit after like a week, but he still gets to say he was in Kiss. It's like that Jason Alexander guy from Georgia, Louisiana, or whatever damn hick state she's from, gets to say that he's stuck at the Britney. You know what I mean? Doesn't matter that she dumped him after 2 days. I mean, that guy got the best of all possible worlds. He marries Britney. He becomes famous. He gets a huge cash settlement from her. He gets to have all the hot honeymoon sex, and then never gets to see her become fat and bitchy later on. I mean, that guy really hit, like, some sort of a progressive quarter mania thing there. In any event. Kevin Federline, who unfairly has a better life than you or me, is clearly coming to the realization, the paper says, that if you date an international star, you really have to realize there's nowhere to hide. According to the Daily Mirror. God, I love British tabloids. Where would I be with that? If I had to rely on American journalists for news, I would have nothing. I would have less than nothing. It's all I can do when I read, because we get a lot of the Jackson news from the British tabloids, because they have no sense. They don't have any of the same rules or anything here. Like, the British tabloids have been identifying that Jackson accuser, that kid, the 13, they've been using his whole name and his picture and everything since like day one, because they don't give a rip. They don't care. But the American press, they won't, like that idiot woman that accused Kobe Bryant or the whatever, like the most of the newspapers here wouldn't use her name. It's like the British papers have no problem with that. According to the Daily Mirror, the 27-year-old dancer, has anyone here actually seen Kevin Federline dance?
Well, in like old videos when they show, like, this is what he was like before he dated Britney.
Is this a thing where the dancing is what got him a girl? Is that the thing?
That's what got him the introduction to the girl.
Well, he was apparently seen getting a bit friendly with a VIP escort, Vanessa Houlihan. Now, we had part of this yesterday, during a weekend away in Las Vegas with his mates. Britney apparently saw a magazine report. It's gotta suck. She learned about it from Us Magazine. She had no idea. Wouldn't you think that if you were like the most famous husband in the world, you would preemptively strike against this by telling your wife, Britney Spears, that you've been canoodling with some hoe in Vegas? Wouldn't you think it'd be a good idea not to let her find out about it when she's at like the Ralph's supermarket buying Tic Tacs or something, and she sees you on the cover of Us Magazine with your hand down somebody's pants? Anyway, Britney apparently read in Us Magazine that Kevin had his hand between her thighs. Britney spotted the magazine reporter when Kevin returned to her. Her arms were far from open. The Sun says when he got back, Britney, who is rumored to be pregnant, confronted her husband and burst into tears during a row. After Kevin left Britney's brother's house alone, he was overheard by a photographer telling a friend, "She's kicked me out." However, it seems that Britney saved most of her spleen. The vent. Is your spleen an actual thing? Does your spleen actually do something, or is that like your, like when they talk about how you've got real gall? You don't have a gall. You have a gallbladder. But that's not the same thing as having, like, there is, you don't have a thing called a gall, do you? Well, whatever. So she saved most of her spleen to vent against the magazine, writing on her website. This is Britney's latest letter to her fans. Dear false tabloids, as you read this letter, I bet you are asking yourself, who, me? Am I a false tabloid? Well, I don't know. But after this posting, I hope you're asking yourself a lot of questions. Your employees are a reflection of your magazine. Do you, Us Weekly, which one did you buy? Did you buy In Touch or Us Weekly?
I bought Star.
She says, do you, Us Weekly, In Touch, Star, and other desperate magazines want employees who are honest or those who are liars? It seems to me you'd prefer the latter. I'm really concerned about the people you hire to work at your companies. I'd like to ask themselves the question, what am I lying to myself about? Is it that you're 50 pounds overweight? Is it that your children aren't making wise decisions? Or maybe your husband or boyfriend is cheating on you? Until you face what's going on in your life, I guess you'll remain a false tabloid. Signed, Brittany. And then she has the P.S. P.S. People Magazine is still great. That's fantastic. Well done. All right. Two more. There's your Brittany watch, by the way, for Thursday on the original show. I'm going to do two more quick stories, then we'll break. We'll have Jolie, we'll come back, we'll have Jen Lane. We'll talk about these terrible metal songs. We'll do the top five. We have Sin City tickets as well. I'm just going to read this really briefly. This is a story that appeals to three people in the world, probably one of whom is me, though, so it gets moved to the front. Topless pictures of Charlotte Church stolen. Now, those of you who know who Charlotte Church is, she's this 19-year-old, she's like some piano prodigy or something. She plays an instrument or she sings or she's unbelievably hot. That's all it. She's unbelievably hot and she has a trust fund that's worth like $140 million. And here's the thing is she's not Britney hot. She's actual hot. Because there was some tabloid pictures of her without any makeup on and whatnot. And that's how you can tell. It's like that story that came out the other day about the 10 celebrities that look worst on high definition television. There's half the people that you think are really attractive you would not find attractive anymore if you saw them in high definition. You see Cameron Diaz on high definition television. Man, that's like a lunar landing surface. I mean, I'm no one to point fingers, but I'm not on television either. If blushing is in Charlotte Church's repertoire, then the Welsh singer will be rather rouge with the latest developments in her love life. Apparently, she's dating some rugby guy. You think people would learn not to do this. If you're going to have, like, a bunch of nude photographs of yourself, or you're going to be having phone sex, you don't do this on something that's wireless. Don't do this in any capacity that it requires you to send things over the Internet. If you're Fred Durst, don't be taking a bunch of pictures of your schween and sticking it on the computer and then inviting a guy to come. It's like a Gary Glitter, the idiot Gary Glitter, the glam guy from Britain. It's like, well, I've gotten a jam sandwich jammed inside my computer. Can you come fix it? Let me just make sure that I fill it full of child pornography first. Thank you. Hello. Why would you do that? Anyway, so Charlotte Church took a bunch of photographs. I'm quoting now from the newspaper. Took several photos of herself. Topless and cradling her ample curves. And then decided to send them via wireless phone to her boyfriend. They were then intercepted by what newspaper? Sarah?
The New York Post?
The Sun.
Oh.
The Sun, which is sort of the British version of the Post. All right, and finally this. And this is the conflict of someone you hate being involved in something you might want to watch. Janine Garofalo, who grows more useless and pointless and irrelevant by the day, will star in the NBC comedy pilot All In. The show is based on the life of poker champ Annie Duke, who lives in Portland, by the way. Garofalo has previously worked in the TV shows The Ben Stiller Show and The Larry Sanders Show. God, you know, the thing is, you go back and you watch, like, even Reality Bites, or you watch The Larry Sanders Show, and it's like she was funny and had, like, a purpose for being alive. It was all beautiful and whatnot. And now she just... man, she looks like some weird, crazy, less attractive Anne Heche. God, maybe this will, maybe she'll come back to earth. Maybe she'll, because clearly the radio thing is going to be short-lived for her and for many of the people over there. So I would like to think that she's preparing some sort of a backup plan as we speak. Let's do this. We'll take a break, and you know what? We'll take, we'll do this one the easy way. We'll do this one the easy way. We're going to give away a pair of Sin City tickets right here, and we'll do it the easy, cheesy way. We'll take caller number 9. Don't be a jerk and attempt to win these if you're not going to go, though, because then they're going to sit in your sock drawer. You're never going to use them, and some geek will go hungry. So if you are interested in seeing Sin City tonight at midnight, a special midnight showing of Sin City, take caller number 9 at 503-535-9100, 1-877-535-9100. Jolie around the corner, then Jen Laney. Stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show.
West Bancroft Street, Portland, Oregon, 97239. Now back to the show.
All right, 503-535-9100 or 1-877-535-9100. Thank you for coming by. Sir Rick Emerson Show. Jen Lane from Barfly Magazine is going to be here in a little while. Don't forget tomorrow, Scott Daly is going to be here from filmfever.org with his full review of Sin City, which we are going to be giving away more tickets for later on today. We got 3 more pair to give away sometime in the next 71 minutes. You want to be listening for that. Don't forget, we are now 2 weeks and 1 day away from Listener Party 8. Listener Party 8, which comes up Friday, April 15th, 8 p.m. at the Viper Room on 7th and Hawthorne, featuring our Dead Celebrity Costume Contest and a live broadcast of the Rick Emerson Show. That is 2 weeks and 1 day away. We got that. We'll also get to the top 5. We'll try to talk about this VH1 thing as well. We got this email. Rick, I saw that thing about the oil barge and the Columbia. Whatever happened to the new Carissa? That's a good question. I don't know whatever. It's so hard not to slip into Andy Rooney mode, but I don't know whatever happened to the new Carissa. Do you all remember that? There was that thing with the barge.
When it was stuck on shore?
It was in Coos Bay. Wasn't it in Coos Bay and the boat was... What did they ever do with that? Did they end up...
When it was stuck? Are you talking about that one?
Yeah, and it was stuck there for weeks and weeks.
They freed it.
But didn't they have to cut it up into little pieces or something?
No, I saw a picture of it floating away happily.
The new Carissa that we're talking about.
Well, it was a big barge that had, like, the big flat top, and it looked really freaky because it was in, like, in between a bunch of cliffs.
Right, it was ground up on the shore?
Yeah.
All right. See, because I think... You know what it was? I think that the new Carissa thing happened right around the same time that I was moving, that I quit doing the local show, and I was doing the national show.
Oh, no, I'm thinking of something completely different.
Okay.
Well, I am. No, I don't know what happened to your boat.
What the hell am I thinking of? Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Hey, this is Holly in Portland.
Hi, Holly. How can I help you today?
I was wondering what the chances were of getting some Sin City tickets if I brought Rick some more cookies.
Oh, you want to talk to Rick? No, I'm sorry. This is... Rick can't be bribed. He's above reproach. His morality is spotless. He can't be bribed, or if they're like a peanut butter type cookie, perhaps.
Yeah.
But
I was thinking cowgirl.
No, I like the word cowgirl. Do you have any reverse cowgirl cookies? No, I'm sorry, that's beneath me. No, I can't. No, unfortunately, no. Much as I would like to do that, I just can't.
All right.
How could my listeners ever take my word again?
I'll still bring you cookies at the listener party.
All right, thank you. There you go.
Okay.
All right, there you go. That's Holly. I gotta not answer the phone anymore because I'm gonna weaken eventually. There's gonna be some sort of offer that I can't refuse. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
This is Joe.
Hi, Joe. What happened with the new Carissa?
It's still sitting out there. They're supposed to pay millions of dollars to have it removed.
And it's still there.
Still there.
What year was that?
Oh, gosh, that was 5 years ago.
So it was right 2000, yeah, so it was right around the time It was right around the time that that's why I guess I don't know, because it was during that story that I quit doing the local show and I did the national show, and I didn't really talk about anything local at that point because it was a terrible program, and my goal was to make it as boring and uninspiring as possible. So it's still sitting there, it's 5 years later, just rusting away, leaching oil into the ocean, undoubtedly.
Yeah, they're supposed to be paying millions of dollars.
Good attempt. There you go. Floating away is not an option. Cutting it up is not an option. I guess they're just going to leave it there for future, you know, for when apes overrun planet Earth, you know, and they're chasing Charlton Heston around. All right, there you go. Thank you, Joe. I appreciate that. There you go. American know-how at its finest. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show.
The inner workings of the female mind revealed. It's time for another edition of How Chicks Think. Max 910. Girls don't like boys, girls like cars and money.
Let's go. Jolie from Corporate Accounts Payable joins us today. You know what you look like?
I don't want to know.
You look like a box of that Indian corn that we always had to make art projects out of when we were, you know what I mean?
No, I don't.
You know, like the weird orange and yellow corn that you put inside the, not a calliope. What's that thing called? A Capricorn? No, a Copenhagen. What the hell was that thing called?
I thought it was an Afghan that I looked like.
Well, that too. But what is that thing? It's like a horn-shaped thing that you have at Thanksgiving, and you put a corn cob in it, and you set it on the table as a centerpiece.
Acorn.
A cornucopia?
It's an acorn.
It's not an acorn. An acorn's a squash. I'm talking about that thing.
Does it really matter?
Whatever. I'm saying you look like an ear of that weird multicolored corn that everybody sets out as a centerpiece decoration at Thanksgiving.
I'm sure you
That's
do.
What that shirt reminds me of.
Okay.
How can I help you today, Julie?
I'm really tired.
I'm sorry.
I didn't get to sleep till like 5:30.
In the morning?
Yeah.
Why?
Because, well, I was about to go to sleep at like 11:30, almost there, and something woke me up. Either my dog barking at some wannabe burglar,
yeah,
or because of this weird, crazy dream that I had, and funny enough, it was about someone on the show, and I can't even, it was the weirdest thing.
Did it involve you buying Sarah a drink at the Egyptian?
No, so I don't think Sarah was in it. No, it wasn't Sarah.
Did it involve you buying?
I was in bed with this person, and I woke up in the morning, and you know how you're like, well.
I want to note that you are, that your face is becoming more crimson by the moment.
And so I
admit that it was me.
Was not in my clothes.
Admit that your dream. Admit that it was about me.
And there were these undergarments laying next to me on top of the person that I was with, and I guess I was showing them my new undergarments.
Showing them,
I bought.
By which you mean Sarah?
Him or her?
Has she talked to you about this dream?
No, not at all.
And like, and I mean, this person lived in like a hotel room.
A Kyle?
Not at a house that they normally.
So I was
at
a transient. So you were coming to visit me, and I was a transient.
I didn't say it was you, and I left all my belongings there, and I couldn't find my way back to where I was supposed to be, and I didn't know if I had actual had sexual relations with this person when I
with
woke
me.
Up or not.
Rick, stop being creepy.
Is it about? She said it was someone on the show.
Yeah, it's not necessarily you.
It's not. She said it wasn't you. Who does that leave? That leaves Tim.
Tim and Kyle.
Was it Kyle?
I can't answer that.
Oh, it's totally
she's having. She's having difficulty keeping eye contact with me.
She's having sex dreams about Kyle.
No, it wasn't Kyle.
So then that only leaves one person.
It really leaves. It's either me or Tim or I suppose.
No, well, she already said it wasn't you. I believe that.
Did you say that?
Mr. Riley.
Well, no, I didn't say that. Did I?
Mm-mm.
Okay, it was you.
Aha!
Ew, I wish I wasn't hearing this.
What is that?
It's like
what
your
is it?
Brother
what?
And sister
what is it
humping.
You? What are you going to say, you?
There was no humping in my dream. I just woke up and I didn't know
if there's confusion of said humping, then
okay,
I
right,
don't want to hear that.
Anyways.
Try to use that word as frequently
then,
as possible.
Then there were the dolls that came to life, and they were like choking me, and I mean, I don't know. I must have eaten some chocolate before I went to bed or something.
Yeah, that part interests me less. Anything that's not about me is less interesting
to
me.
Well, so the dolls were like, you know, your baby lives, and their legs moved and stretched and were around
my neck. Was this like that detox scene in Trainspotting with the baby crawling on the ceiling and were you in vomit? Let me ask you this.
No vomit.
So
do you like me now?
The dream consisted of you and I in a hotel room.
Yeah, but you lived there, so it was kind of like a dorm.
So it was like my home away from home. So you and I were in a hotel room, and at any point in the dream, were we in bed?
We were. It was like a bed that was on the floor, you know, the two mattresses.
So like a futon, sort of?
Well, no, just two mattresses on the floor.
Okay, but no frame.
Right. And you were on
it's kind of a downscale life you've developed for me in this dream.
You were on the right side, if you're looking at the bed, and I was on the left. And
is that where you normally sleep in your relationship with your husband?
It is.
Who also named Rick, by the way. All right.
Yeah.
So now we were in the bed. Were we covered?
Were we covered
under the covers?
We were covered, and I had a top on.
But you did not have the rest
no
of your clothes.
And
so you were bottomless.
I was confused.
I was confused
and scared.
Confused and sore.
And I did not shut up. I did not go hiking on the dream, so there was no soreness involved.
Okay, all right.
But the underwear.
And so where? And so
next
this is
to me,
your underwear sitting next to the bed.
I guess I went shopping that day, and I had all these like five or seven pairs of underwear that you.
But you weren't wearing any.
No, and so I didn't know, you know, if we.
Now was I wearing undergarments? In this dream. To the best of your knowledge.
That part I don't know. That part just kind of...
You're not sure about
this. I don't know.
It seems unlikely that that you would be all, completely or partially naked and that I would not be.
But I think there was nothing going on. I mean, I'm sure of
it.
There was nothing going on, but for some reason...
Maybe you came in, later in the dream.
Maybe.
Maybe you came in after the new Carissa had sailed away. After the boat.
Sure.
After the boat had left shore.
No, I don't do that. No.
Okay.
No, not a dirty bed.
All right.
Anyways,
okay.
I left all my belongings, my purse, my keys. I didn't know where I was going. I didn't know how to get to where I was going. It was just one of those really nerve-wracking, scary, scary dreams.
This is, okay, we've got email now coming in about this. Rick, about Jolie's dream, inquiring minds want to know. Granny panties or thong? Yes, in the dream, what manner of undergarments were they?
I told you I wasn't wearing it.
No, but they were sitting by the bed.
They were actually on your lap.
Wait, how could they have been in my lap if I was under the covers?
See-through, like black, just think like a sort of, not like net, but a sheer with red, like, ribbon on it was one. There was something with, like, feathery boa things.
French tailor.
Well, I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, that's about all I can remember.
Well,
but there was five pair of them.
And so you had difficulty getting back to sleep after this.
I did.
Is it because you were? Is it because your mind was feverishly? You were in a.
You might want to call it a nightmare or something.
Thank you. You were in some sort of a decidedly excited state, and unable to.
The adrenaline, I guess, was going because
right.
It was scary.
I'm just asking. Sarah's making the ick face, but I just.
I'm just really grossed out right now.
By whom?
By you guys talking about this.
Like you wouldn't ask somebody for details.
No, I wouldn't ask if I was wearing underwear in their dream or not. That's just, I don't want to know that.
Like if
that's a private conversation. You guys can have in like a prod room somewhere.
A prod room.
Sorry, Sarah.
Oh, prod room.
I got your prod right here. She
subconsciously really likes to listen to it.
Yeah. Well, no, you totally want to know. Like if Gustav came in and was like, so, Sarah, I was playing World of Warcraft, and then I had a dream about it.
And then I passed out.
And then I passed out, and we were naked in a hotel bed together. You would completely want to know the details.
No way. No, because I wasn't part of it, and I don't want to know, like, what's going on in someone's head.
Well, that's the difference between you and me, I guess.
Okay, right. Anyways.
Well, this has been nice and awkward.
Sorry.
How shall we move to the next?
Why don't you give the legal ID and just start fresh?
And by the way, not so fresh. By the way, you're listening to KOTK Vancouver, Portland, KSLM Salem, which is an intercom station. Bada bing, bada boom. All right, what's up?
Okay, so I got this question from my friend Kim. She wanted to know. She said this is a really interesting observation. That why do men think that they can go for any sort of woman, any class, any level, much higher than themselves, and think that they can get away with it? Whereas the woman will only go for, let's say, I think she said like 10% better looking than the woman is.
Well,
they won't go out of their.
So why do we? So in other words, on the beauty scale of like 1 to 100, that women will only hit on women. Women will only hit on men who are. who are as good looking or less good looking than they are.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas men will hit on women who are clear, what, like perceived to be out of their league?
Yeah, I guess so. Uh-huh.
Well, two reasons for this. Because men are largely dumb. And this is the thing we've talked about. Clyde and I were talking about this yesterday. As Henry Rollins once said, you know, men are morons and women are evil. And that's just sort of the way...
We are not.
You really are. And that's just sort of the way... But as time goes on, men become dumber, so you have to become more evil to compensate. It's a whole vicious cycle. So the upshot of it is that because guys are largely stupid, they just don't... You know, it's like the same reason my dog just, you know, will dart into traffic, you know, to chase some speck of dust, like, rolling across.
He's a male?
Well, not just because he's a dog, and therefore he's got a brain the size of a kidney bean. Like, he doesn't know. And so it's like, this morning, I'm taking him out. And you'd think he'd learn, right? Because, Christ, I mean, the dog's been in the hospital, like, 3 times in the last 2 weeks because he just doesn't get it through his head that there's stuff he can't do. Watch this. Oh, it's a pound of Baker's chocolate. Maybe I'll eat it. You know?
Oh.
And he went to take him to the hospital. He was on IVs. They had to shave parts of his legs to stick the needles in. He fell down some stairs. He's wearing the lampshade thing.
Do you think he should be turned in for dog abuse?
It's not me, man. I don't... Man.
You're not a very good dog parent.
It's not... It had nothing to do with that. He's somehow grown thumbs of some kind because he's learned... Like, he knows to open a cupboard at some point. Well, I told Sarah about this. We had some bananas sitting up on the kitchen counter. He's not only figured out how to jump from the floor to the chair to the table to another counter to the kitchen counter and then knock food onto the floor. We come home, the banana itself is gone, but the peel is still there. I have hands and thumbs and I can barely open a banana sometimes. I don't understand how he does it with paws. You know what I mean? So he's some weird hell dog that can't be... He's like that dog from Watchers, you know? Like, he's all, like, extra smart. Anyway, but I'm taking him out. And he's kind of been through the ringer in the last week. So you think he'd be all about self-preservation? But no, I take him out to, you know, to do his business or whatever this morning. And, you know, there's a little garden area right in front of our house. But what does he immediately do? He sees, like, a leaf blowing across the street, lunges after the leaf, and I have to restrain him because otherwise, like, the Mr. Frosty truck would have run him down because he's a dog and therefore really dumb, therefore not afraid of all the things that he should be afraid of. So it is with men. When men are just so dumb sometimes that they have no notion that a woman is out of their league, the second reason is because testosterone is the great blinder. You know what I mean? It's like... It's like when you're jacked up on enough testosterone, it's like you don't use any of your common sense. You don't have any of your normal apprehensions or fears. It's like being on a drug. It's like when you're on the crack or something, and you know, you're not afraid of the cop with the stun gun and the truncheon. When you're on testosterone, it's like it just blinds you to any and all dangers and any and all perceived threats. So you have no fear about asking out a woman that's completely hot.
Okay, well, why do you always talk about how you have this? It's so hard to be a man, and this rejection is just, you know, you can't handle the rejection. It's just too much.
Well,
I mean, come on. But...
It sucks to be rejected, but I'm saying, but this is the, and this is the fourth segment, the fourth thing, which I'll get to in just a moment, because the third thing is that guys, it's very much, and Lycus will tell you this, it's very much a numbers game. It's like my friend Trey has what he calls the, my friend Trey has the 10-4-1 theory. And the 10-4-1 theory is this. If you're at a club, you ask 10 girls for their number, 4 will say yes, 1 will sleep with you. That's, you know, or, you know, 10, you ask 10 to dance, 4 will say yes, 1 will sleep with you. 10-4-1. It's the law of averages. You are just playing the numbers game. That's how it operates. So that's, men are very much about the law of averages. You ask, look, if you were to walk down the street and just ask 100 girls in a row to sleep with you, 80 will ignore you, 10 will, you know, say, what? 5, you know, will do whatever, but one of them will probably go, well, all right, you know, let's go for it. And also, you gotta play the numbers game. As far as the rejection aspect of it goes, it sucks to be rejected by women, and this is a pain that women really don't know. Women don't know the pain of rejection the same way that men do. But if it's true...
I don't want to hear it again.
It is true. Look, I will tell you this right now. You and I could both walk down the street, and I will be... I mean, largely because I'm hideous. But you could get a man and a woman, have them go out and just start hitting on people left and right, and the man will be rejected 4 times as often as the woman. That's just the simple fact of the matter. This is just the math of it.
I have something to tell you about an article I read in my Glamour magazine.
Yeah.
It was about how, you know, the woman is much smarter than the man. We all know that. But the reason that they're older and they don't find that perfect guy is that they're a little more selective. The men aren't good enough, and then the men don't want somebody that's smarter than they are either.
No. Here's the thing. The thing about guys always hitting on women who you perceive to be out of their league is that getting rejected is terrible and ego crushing and soul destroying, and you never want to leave your house again. You want to just sit at home and drink yourself into a coma with a big bottle of Jim Beam, right?
As you should.
Okay, but so given that that's the fact, if you're gonna miss, why not miss with somebody who's hot? You know what I mean? Because look, the fact of them, and all guys know this, that even the most hideous beast of a woman will reject you sometimes, just for no reason. A woman has no right to reject you, because for some reason.
Don't say that.
It's true, and guys, every guy has experienced this. Like there is no one convinced that they are sexier than a really ugly woman. I mean, and I don't know why that is. I don't know where that dynamic comes from. I don't know why that's the case, but every guy will tell you that that's true. You get a woman who's just like a Dawn of the Dead type, and they are all convinced that they are beautiful. So it's like the odds of getting rejected by her are just as good as the odds of getting rejected by some really hot girl. So why not ask the hot girl out? You know? Because getting rejected sucks. No. If you're going to get rejected, why not get turned down, you know, by the hot chick where you might at least have a chance?
But you don't have a chance.
But you don't have a chance. What I'm saying is you have just as little chance with the ugly girl as you do with the hot girl. So why not go for the hot girl?
Because you just don't think any further into the future than like 6 inches.
Well,
I mean, you know, if you thought about your future.
Men think about the immediate future. Men think about. The 2.5 hours later the night before we go home and watch Kilborn.
I don't even think you'd do that far.
No, that's it. Rick, men select women on the basis of looks. This email says women are much more influenced by wealth and power. That is why, Med said, women are often hitting on men out of their league, too. It's just not physically. Women hit on men that are out of their league financially. Well, that's certainly. So
we're just looking for a nice, dependable, responsible,
respectable
man that knows how to treat a woman.
Dependable.
Doesn't matter if he has money or not.
No, see, but that's the code word. The code word for women. Women, a lot of women will not say that they want a guy with money. There are code words. We could do a whole segment on this, Ag. You can do a whole segment on code words that men and women use when talking about what they're looking for, and when they say they're talking about what they're describing, they're talking about what they're desirous of. When women say that they are looking for a man who is dependable, that means you're looking for a guy who will marry you and has money. That's what that means. Same thing when you're looking for a guy, when you say you're looking for a guy who is financially secure, that means you're looking for a guy who's rich.
No, it isn't.
It totally is. When you say you want a dependable guy, or how about this? Here's the other code word. I'm looking for a guy who's a good provider. Good provider means will give me money. That's
Here's
what that means.
Thing.
I'm not passing judgment. I'm just saying call it what it is.
No, Rick, what it is that he has direction and motivation in life.
Motivation.
He has started young, and he knows what he wants to do. He goes out and he does it. He works hard.
All of which is code for having money.
And so he gets money. That's okay.
All of which is code for having money. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. You go for whatever you're going to go for. But just own up to it and say what it is. You know what it is? It's like when guys say they want somebody. Here, how about this? We could do a whole segment on this. We'll just do a couple minutes today, but we could do a whole thing on this. This is for you and Sarah. Here's the question. I will give you the code word. You tell me what it really means.
Is it the code word of a man or
this is a
woman?
Man. This is a man talking about what he wants in a woman.
Okay.
And we'll take input on this too. We'll take it. We have a few minutes here before we do the Jen Lane thing in the top five. So we'll take some input from the audience on this. It's 503-535-9100. 503-535-9100 or 1-877-535-9100. But there are a whole series of code phrases that men and women will use so they don't have to just say what it is they're really looking for, because we're all stuck in this thing of like not being able to be honest for fear that you're going to scare off the whatever. All right. I will give you the code word. You tell me what it means. When a guy says he is looking for a girl who is bubbly.
That she'll sleep with you that night.
Well, that's always a given. That's
airheaded?
Dumb. That's exactly what it is. When you say you're looking for a girl who is bubbly, you are looking for a girl who is dumb.
So if someone says I'm bubbly, then that means I'm stupid?
Well, I didn't say that. But all I'm saying is, when a guy... Well, she's got a really bubbly... Come on, when I say bubbly personality, you think of a dumb girl. And I bet, and because you're women, I bet you think of a specific dumb girl you know.
No, I don't think of dumb when I think of bubbly.
Okay, how about this? How about this? How about this? When a guy says... Looking for a girl. Like, when a guy says, looking for a girl with curves.
She has a humongous rack.
That's exactly what it is. Because Because fat rolls are curves, but they're not looking for that. That's become
Wait,
the new
code.
Wait,
what did you call them?
Fat rolls.
No, before that, what was the...
Curves.
Oh, curves. Okay.
Yeah, no, when a guy says, I'm looking for a girl with curves, which is the new lingo that guys use. Because...
Really?
No, it's totally code guys use. And it's because of women that they do it. Because women so embraced the word curves. But to men and women, it means two different things. And that's the beauty of it, is that when a guy says, I'm looking for a woman with curves, women listen to that guy and they go, he's not sizist. He's not going to judge me based upon my... And so women, of course, will think that that just means that, you know, he wants a girl who's rotund, which, of course, is not the case. When a guy says he wants a girl with curves, it means he wants a girl with an enormous rack. That's what he's talking about.
I don't think you even use the code word. I mean, you just come out and say it.
Well, I don't, because it's like, well, I'm right here. I mean, who am I trying to convince of anything? You know what I mean? So, okay, how about this? A girl who likes to go out and have a good time.
She parties, drinks a lot, forgets, and she'll sleep with you.
Exactly. Who will go out and get effed up and then get, you know, effed. That's what that means. A girl who likes to have a good time is a girl who will get plowed and then go home with me and not remember much about it the next day. That's what that's code for. Let's see. Rick on a cell phone in Salem. What's up?
Well, I was just going to pass on, like Tom Leica says, that a man's the best-looking woman he can afford.
Well, and my whole thing, again, if you're going to get rejected, you might as well, you know, try to get rejected by somebody hot on the off chance that she'll... Because there's like a 1 in 100 chance that she'll sleep with you. But that's about the same as it is for a homely chick, so what are you going to do?
That's right.
Yeah.
And, it's a lot easier to say she wasn't your type if she was good-looking.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. That's
Then I just don't want to hear you complain about rejection anymore, okay?
No. It's that rejection sucks, so why not go for the... You know what it is? It's like if you're going to spend, you know, $5 on a lottery ticket, are you going to spend $5 on a lottery ticket that pays off 20 or that pays off 20,000? You know what I mean? You're going to be out the $5 if you lose either way, and that's going to suck, so you might as well go for the one that has the bigger payoff. I mean, on the off chance that you win, the odds are against you. But, yeah, you know, you're going to do what you're going to do. Tom, you're on a cell phone. What's up?
Yeah, I was just thinking that when a guy says he wants a woman to be the mother of his children, that he wants a woman that has large breasts or is going to have large breasts.
I want a woman who's maternal. That's another one.
Exactly.
Yeah, so they can baby you.
The woman who is maternal means the woman who will stay home and darn my socks for me. That's exactly what that means. When you want a woman who is maternal, that means you want a woman who will have fajitas on the table every night when you come home at like 7 p.m.
A woman that will grow breasts during childbirth, you know.
Yeah, all right, there you go. That's Tom on a cell phone. No, that's... So there you go. I mean, we don't have time to do a whole lot more. Because we got a break and then we get to some stuff. But that's...
Alrighty.
That's a segment that we will continue at another time. I could go on and on about that forever. So there you go. Send your questions, by the way, to How Chicks Think. Here's a guy with more information for you.
We figure out women so you don't have to. Send your questions to How Chicks Think at RickEmerson.com. Max 910.
Back after this. Don't go anywhere.